This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for IT professionals. For more information and to download other shows, visit ciaops.podbean.com. This is episode 26 with Ishai Sagi and is brought to you by the Computer Information Agency. Visit us on the web at www.ciaops.com. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. My name is Robert Crane, and for this episode, I'm joined by Ishai Sagi to talk all about SharePoint. Good morning, Ishai.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for getting my last name correctly. Not many people do.
I don't think I did a very good job of that. So what you might have to do for our listeners is obviously give us your name, the way that it's supposed to be pronounced, and then just give us a bit of detail about yourself and what you do.
So my name is Ishai Sagi. It's pronounced Sagi, but it's spelled S-A-G-I. So that's why most people get confused, because I even was called on several occasions Mr. Soggy or other things like that. So it is nice when people get it right, and it is Sagi, like the dog from, not the dog, the guy from Scooby-Doo, I guess. I'm a SharePoint consultant. I've been a SharePoint expert since SharePoint 2001 and the beta even. I've been working on SharePoint together with Microsoft as a consultant and mostly as a developer. I've been developing SharePoint solutions for ages. And I own my own company. I run a company called Extelligent Design. We're running out of Canberra, offering SharePoint consulting and solutions and products and training and everything to do with the SharePoint and just SharePoint. Not just in Canberra. We have clients all over Australia, but that's our focus so far has been nothing but SharePoint. And I guess to the topic of what we're here to talk today about small business, I guess my main message today is that while small business can install SharePoint using the small business server, what I really am excited to talk about is Office 365, which is pretty new here in Australia, and how I see it as such a driver for business, small business especially.
Well, you and me both, hon. Also been very passionate about SharePoint and also very passionate now about Office 365. So I think probably the good place to start for a lot of people is that, you know, a lot of people may have heard of SharePoint. A lot of people may have seen it on something like, you know, Small Business Server and Company Web, and they may have, you know, dabbled with it and maybe put a calendar up or a list, and then it's been forgotten and it's something that sort of sat in the background. And now that we're seeing more and more drive, we're seeing more and more linking to, you know, the Office products and more talk around the SharePoint, you know, as a driver for business. I mean, if you had to explain SharePoint to, you know, the typical small business person who may never have seen it or may never have come across SharePoint and don't understand what it is, how would you best describe that product to them?
I'll actually quote you from a book I've written. I've written two books called, one is SharePoint 2007 How To, and the other one is SharePoint 2010 How To, in which I start, these are books that are meant for people who never heard about SharePoint, who have no idea what it is, and want a small book that will explain to them how to do small stuff in SharePoint. So I do like my explanation of what is SharePoint from the book. It is quite a long explanation, but I'll summarize it, that it's a platform that allows people to build websites. That's the very basic, that's what it is. It allows you very easily to go in and say, I want a new website. And on that website, I want pages, I want documents, I want contacts, I want announcements, and all kind of different modules that you can plug into it, because it's a platform and not just a product. And the fact that it's a platform allows developers such as myself to extend it, to build things on top of it, to add. You want project management? Here we go. I'll build you project management based on the SharePoint platform. You want contacts? You want announcements? You want tasks? Anything that was traditionally done? If we talk large businesses, they use SAP or other off-the-shelf products that you had to buy a specific off-the-shelf product for a specific need. or if we talk about small businesses, you usually used Access or you bought small products, and again, you wound up inundated with all kinds of products that don't talk to each other. With SharePoint being one platform and being an extendable platform, you can replace all those products with one main product from one vendor, which is Microsoft. You install SharePoint and you have a web product which you can install all those add-ons and attachments and other applications on, and they're all managed within the same infrastructure. You back up all your projects, all your tasks, all your announcements, all your calendars, everything is in one place. You go to one place to find them. You have one search engine. So basically, it's a huge thing. It became the Microsoft number one fastest selling product of all times. Better than Windows, better than Office, better than all the SQL Server and Exchange Server. SharePoint is, and I have to disagree with one thing that you say. You said, Robert, that people, you said things like people install SharePoint, put a calendar on, and then forget about it. In the enterprise space that I've been working on since 2001, people use SharePoint extensively. We actually have a lot of complaints from IT managers that once they install SharePoint, people just create, and it gets out of hand, at which point someone like me comes in and say, well, let's put some governance around the usage of SharePoint and make sure that people are using it wisely and with limits and with the direction that the company wants. The main thing out of this is that when you install SharePoint, people see the potential of how you can use that platform to get some advantage for the business, to solve so many business problems that like, where do I put the document so that other people can find it? How do I manage the versions of the document so that every time I edit a document, I can go back to the previous version? How do I set security on the document? Can I do the same thing with tasks? Can I assign someone a task and then track the progress? And all kind of questions like that, you can solve it with one answer, do it on SharePoint, and people just take on to that. And because it's so easy to create those kind of mini solutions in it, it takes off without much training needed.
Well, I think that it's interesting you say that, and I do agree with you that in the enterprise space that it certainly does, and that, you know, the resources are around there. But I think in my experience has been, which has been typically around the small business server product, where, you know, SharePoint services, the low end or the free version, yes, has been included, is typically, look, it used to come up as the default website that people would, yep, see when they first logged in. And, you know, a lot of people request, what's this? What does it do? You know, I don't understand it, and they don't put, exactly, the time into it. Now, would you say that perhaps the fact that it hasn't seen that sort of take up perhaps in the smaller end of the market is a factor of the reseller, the people putting it in, not introducing the customer and not explaining to them and not understanding themselves about the product and what the opportunity it represents?
I think that's partially been always the problem, because it is a problem when you have a product, you don't know its potential, you don't understand it, and you know it costs you money to have an expert such as yourself or such as me to come in and train them. But I think the main reason SharePoint hasn't fulfilled its potential with small businesses so far is that the people in small businesses are more oriented towards the end product. I know that my company is a small business, defined as a small business. We're 100% of our time at client sites developing custom applications or solving problems on the servers and optimizing performance. We don't have time and we don't have much need to collaborate within each other and upload documents and see what other people have written, or we manage, each one of us manages their own contacts on Outlook instead of sharing contacts through a web interface. And we don't really have the same need for collaboration as a large or medium business would need, because we're not that, we're very intensive at our day-to-day work, which is supplying our clients with a product or with their solutions, and less with working with one another.
I was going to say, it's interesting because you know, most of the small businesses, I think you see the experience I've had is that they've got so many processes, so many bits of paper, so many things that they're doing ineffectively and unproductively that SharePoint is is a really good tool for them to take this ad hoc information or this list or that bit of information, that wiki, you know, that knowledge and plug it into a wiki and again, aggregate all that information. But for some reason, there seems to be this gap between, well, you know, we have this huge need for this product and there is this product over here, but for whatever reason, they don't seem to make the jump to say, well, you know, SharePoint is the tool that we should be using.
I think the reason for that is that SharePoint, as I said, is a platform. So, and while it comes out of the box with some solutions, for example, contacts, calendar, and tasks and things like that, it's not the same as buying an off-the-shelf product that's designed to solve the problem that the small business is currently experiencing. For example, you said all the papers lying around, so a product that scans, let's say, scans receipts and then stores them in a database where you can pull them at the end of the year to do your tax returns. While SharePoint can do that, someone needs to go into SharePoint and define, hey, I want a place to put receipts in. For each receipt, I want you to ask me when I upload the receipt, I want you to ask me what it was for, what was the category, how much is the receipt amount. And then I want at the end of the year, I want to be able to pull out a report. SharePoint can do that and can do that easily. But when you just install SharePoint and you don't tell people this is how you create it, for them, it would be much easier to go on the Apple store and click, hey, I want something for my iPhone that does receipts and download it, because that's more consumer oriented, while SharePoint is more oriented at, you know, people who want to be able to do everything on a platform, but you still need to define this is what I want to do.
But would it be fair to say that, you know, in the enterprise to an extent perhaps have got their processes more mapped out, have got them better defined, have perhaps more mature, where in the small business space, you know, normally when I go in there and you talk to a small business, they look, you know, we want a vacation, you know, a vacation request calendar.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, okay, well, you know, how do you define this and who's going to you know, who's it going to go to? How are you going to enter it? And they sort of look at you blankly and say, we just want a vacation calendar. You know, they're looking at the end rather than saying, well, hang on, we have to put in a bit of work to understand our processes. We've never revisited our processes and understanding them. And until you do that, you can't map that. I mean, is that a fair comment?
Very much so. I personally partner with a company that does business analysis for me. And when I go to a client, regardless if it's big or small, I take one of them with me and I tell the client, look, before we start doing anything, I want you to sit down with that person, do a day workshop just to figure out what it is that you want. Because most of the time, the client they don't know the questions they should ask themselves. And with small businesses, I guess you have much more experience with small businesses than I do. And my guess is correct that they don't have, first of all, the funding to spend on a day workshop before actually getting anything done, before starting to actually deliver the product or doing any programming that needs to be done. And then they're also limited in the funding to actually do develop. But add to that the whole any time that you sit down with them and ask them questions and they have to think about the answers and go back and forth about the requirements of what leave noting application should do. That's time that it's money spent from them twice. They have to pay you and they're not fulfilling the main purpose of their job, which is handling clients or building buildings or whatever that small business does. With the enterprise or medium businesses, they have people whose job it is to understand the processes.
Yeah, I think it's again, it comes back to being very interesting. It to me, you know, I think perhaps, you know, everybody wants, the customer wants the end result. You know, the customer, I want a vacation request, just make it happen sort of thing. I think that the problem with small businesses is that, again, that they tend to work in a reactive mode. They're, look, we need this, we need it now, we can't wait, yada, yada. you know, we don't want to invest the time up front. And, you know, again, whereas an enterprise, I think, again, would say, look, we want this. But when you explain to them, okay, we understand this, we've got to have a few meetings, a few committees, and write these out and do that sort of thing. So, again, I think it's a bit of a different nature that, you know, the small businesses is, you know, we want the result, but potentially is not prepared to put in the time. So, again, part of the consultation process with them is to go in there and say, look, you know, before I can even help you, we need to map out your processes. And there's an opportunity there for resellers or whomever to, again, aggregate and make some revenue, because, again, you're the one that perhaps knows best is, okay, this will map well, this won't map well. And I think, you know, there's an opportunity that I think a lot of resellers have probably been hesitant to dive into. I mean, is that sort of a fair comment? Is that sort of, you know, where you're finding a lot of your revenue can be generated from?
I hope so. Again, as I said, I didn't have much experience with small businesses, except for being a small business, or I have one or two small business clients coming up now, because up until now, SharePoint and the services I would give for SharePoint were a bit too expensive for most small businesses. Now, what I would ask you as a small business expert, do you think that small businesses, as opposed to big enterprise businesses, are more open to let you, as the expert, define the process they should have, instead of them dictating this is a process we want and you have to adjust the product to what we need?
Well, I think people come to me and they say to me, look, why can't you just develop a accounting vertical template or a doctor's surgery template or this? And you know, look, I tried that. You know what? Every single small business that I went to and showed them this template, they said, yeah, that's great, but our business is different. Yeah. We do things slightly different. We do day, month, year, or year, month, day. There's some little thing that you know, again, that they make that's a little bit different. And I think,
exactly the same as big businesses.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that, you know, again, I think it's a lot of it is not the technology anymore. As my definition of SharePoint is generally it's 20% technology, it's 80% business. You've got to understand the business needs. You've got to understand what the client's trying to achieve and understand their budget and, you know, that sort of thing. And say, look, okay, maybe stage one is we just do, you know, the calendar and someone puts it in and they get an alert. That'll take, you know, an hour or 2 hours to implement. Right, let's go. So I think that, I don't know. I mean, the difference in the small business end is, perhaps to an extent, you've got to show results very quickly. They don't have to be perfect or the ultimate result, but you need to say, right, if I do X, Y, and Z in an hour, you will get result A, B, and C directly. And then they go, okay, I feel a bit more confident with this. Okay, I can see the value. I can move the next step, perhaps. I mean, that to me is the difference. You know, you've really got to put the runs on the board very quickly, especially for people who've never seen the product, never understand it. It's not until you've sort of got to get to that point where the light bulb goes on, and they go, oh, now I get what SharePoint is. And that may take, you know, two or three attempts to automate a process.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that I most like about SharePoint, because prototyping in SharePoint is so easy. And you can come to a client meeting and sit with them for an hour, and they say, look, our process is like this. And if we take the expense reporting example, and they say, every time someone does something that is an expense, they scan it, that goes into a PDF file. We need a place to put that PDF file and ask the person what it was for, how much it was, and then we need a report at the end of the year. While they're talking, I can whip up on SharePoint just by going click on the user interface and come up with something that will be very, very close to what they'll get at the end. That will then plug in the monitor and say, well, is this what you had in mind? And at which point we can start this, they can see, well, either yes, this is what we had in mind, or they can say, this is close, but we didn't realize that people can have those categories for an expense. It may be on several categories, so maybe we have to refine what categories we ask. And the report that we need is actually a bit more complex. We need it by month, and that changes, of course, the solution, because that means we have to categorize by month instead of year. And all of that can be done in front of the customer in real time. And SharePoint is just excellent for that.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, I suppose coming from the enterprise side of things, and you know, obviously most small businesses are using the Windows Foundation or the Windows SharePoint Services product before we get to the Office 365 stuff. Do you think that that's a good enough, you know, does that provide a good enough basis for them, or really is that only give them an intro that they really should be aiming to go to, you know, SharePoint Server and the enterprise stuff? So I suppose what I'm saying is that, you know, if I go into a small business today and say, look, oh, you've got Small Business Server 2011, so you've got Foundation 2010, you know, we could do it on this product, but you're going to suddenly hit all these limitations. It'd be much better if you get a subscription to Office 365. I mean, is that the way it should be going, do you think?
First of all, we have to figure out if Office 365 will remove those things that are missing from the base SharePoint install that you get in Small Business Server, because Office 365 doesn't give you the equivalent of a SharePoint Enterprise. It still has limitations. There are limits to what you can do with it being a cloud offering. So it's not going to integrate as flawlessly with your on-premise servers and all your applications. Now, I guess the main question is: are we missing anything from the offering that that comes in a Small Business Server? So SharePoint, Windows SharePoint Services, SharePoint Foundation, which is part of the Small Business Server, that has the basic capabilities of the platform. So I can create document libraries and create documents in them and version them and give permissions and create lists and from developer perspective, the things that are missing there are from the enterprise level is things that I'm not sure you would do on a Small Business Server anyway. I'll give you an example. To create a SharePoint website for the internet, not for inside collaboration, not for inside the company, but I want my clients to go to www.exd.com.au, which is my my website, and see my and see my online presence. To do that from a Small Business Server, I would argue, is a bad idea, because most likely that Small Business Server is sitting in your office. Your internet connection will not be fast enough to serve a big load of clients. You're competing with your internet connection with people who are working in the office. So if someone's downloading a big file or is doing a online training, does that mean your website will be very slow to your clients? Is that a good idea? So while you can use the Small Business Server to host a SharePoint site and expose it to the internet, I would argue that's a bad idea in the first place. And that's where I say 365 is the solution. Go cloud. I think you'll find that most small businesses are already using hosting for their internet-facing sites, and probably using some hosting company that does hosting on HTML or offers a content management, web content management system that allows them to edit it to a certain extent. But mostly it's like web designers who came in, did something in Flash that's hard to update, posted it on some cheap hosting website. And that, you know, they charge the X amount of dollars per month, and the small business forgets about it, and the website becomes stale. With Office 365, you get a SharePoint website that's not only easy to update and keep up to date. So I want a new page, I want to update the contents of this page, but it's also easy to give other people permissions to update. It's also easy to add modules to, that you can say, hey, I found this thing online that says this will be a contact us form. That's better than built-in one. I'll just install it on Office 365. And there's a lot of extensions that you can gain from it. Plus the fact that you get from Office 365 so much more than an internet site, because you can, let's start from the beginning, where if you have a Small Business Server on-premise, you have to find room for it. You have to pay for the electricity for it. You have to pay for the backup. You have to worry about disks running out of space, about the server crashing, server slowing down because it's getting old. You have to pay people for support and trust them that they'll get there on time. Office 365 just removes all that headache. You don't need on-premise hardware to run all of this. And everything is run in the cloud and managed in the cloud. So Microsoft are taking care of your website. Microsoft are making sure your website is up and running and backed up, and you can go back in time for backups. And you don't need to worry about we have a power supply failure in our office. That means clients can't go to our website. That doesn't exist anymore. That's not a problem. Or not just talking about clients. I have employees who are on the field and they need to not just SharePoint. Let's say they need documents from SharePoint, but they also need their email from Exchange. If there's a power supply in the office, does that mean they don't get emails, they don't get access to documents that they need for their day-to-day work? If you move to the cloud, that problem is solved. Your office can be dead, but your phone, which will still be working and connected to the internet, will have access to all your documents and to your emails, which will still be very much alive.
That's right, and that's all sense. But I think, again, from the small business aspect, is their biggest fear is that they see that they're giving up control. They're comfortable with their data sitting under their kitchen sink on a server that's got one drive and it's, the fans making noise. And, they think that's a super reliable, super secure system. I mean, how would you suggest that we, when you approach a small business about the cloud benefit? I mean, my experience has been for a lot of them that may not get them across the line. They may, look, I'm concerned about Microsoft having my data and the security and, all that regular stuff. I mean, is that something really worth worrying about? Or as others have said, you basically say, well, move on to the next client who is willing to take that, who's willing to see the benefit.
I was just in Redmond in the Microsoft offices and I participated in the inaugural, the first ever Office 365 Saturday, which was an event, a free event that with some speakers that just volunteered to come and speak to audience who got in for free and listen to Office 365 presentations. And this was discussed a lot there. It was very interesting to hear all the different answers from all the aspects to why it's going to be easy to convince people to go to 365. Starting from what I already said, you don't need to spend too much money on hardware. And I can tell you a story from a few weeks ago. I went to a small business nearby, and they said they wanted the system to run on SharePoint because, like you said, they had SharePoint installed on the small business server but never used it. And they wanted a system that solved that particular problem that that they had in the business. So I asked them, okay, what kind of server do you have? It's a great server. It's a very expensive server. It cost us a lot of money last year, and it's fantastic. So I go to the server itself and check the specs, and the specs are below what the Microsoft minimum requirements for a development machine to be.
Yeah,
not the production.
Seen that before.
Yeah, and that's a server that's running Active Directory, Exchange, it's the file server, and the SharePoint server. So not just SharePoint, and Microsoft minimum requirements are just for SharePoint. So we're talking about a dual core 4 gig RAM, very standard. And I'm thinking, well, that was very standard for laptops back 5 years ago, dual core 4 gig RAM. Right now, it doesn't make sense to run a production machine that handles have a large amount of emails, plus you want to start doing document collaboration and project management on it, and this machine is going to choke down by itself before we even get to the internet connection. So that's one argument. Now, I don't know how many small businesses are worried about their internet site being exposed to denial of service attacks, but
well, I think that you know, good business practice and, you know, good resellers have obviously moved most small businesses' websites, you know, off onto a hosted system. But most of those websites are simply brochureware. You know, they don't do much. They're not interactive. They're not extranets. They're not collaborative. And that's obviously where SharePoint, you know, can shine. I think that, you know, again, would you say that perhaps that some of the resistance that customers are experiencing with this move to Office 365 and the cloud is because their reseller also hasn't made that leap or doesn't, you know, understand how they're going to make money out of the they see Microsoft as stealing all their opportunity?
I think that's going to be the main drawback to the whole cloud offering strategy, that the companies that used to go to, it's like the neighborhood technicians who used to go in and sell servers at inflated prices and offer services to keep managing those servers, and you have a problem on your machine, I'll come and fix it for you. They're making that's their main business model, and I think they're afraid of cloud offerings replacing them.
Well, you know, they're obviously taking away the day-to-day stuff, the broken power supplies, the full disks, and all that sort of stuff. And look, you and I both know that those days are coming to an end, and that there's an ever diminishing market for, you know, that sort of service generally. So, I mean, what should these sort of people be doing? What should these traditional IT resellers be doing? Now, you know, I've got my opinions on, you know, how they look to SharePoint as an opportunity and upsell and you know, do consulting and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, people get very sick and tired of hearing me beat the same old drum. So, I mean, you know, in your opinion, where should these people be looking? You know, what opportunities does SharePoint provide the reseller now as to, you know, going forward for their business?
I think if we leave SharePoint and focus on 365 and cloud offerings in particular, what I see that those companies, what I think they should do is play to their strengths. And their strengths should be coming to the clients and say, look, we'll make sure your network works. Because even if we move to the cloud, we'll still need the on-premise server to do Active Directory, so that everyone can log on to their to the network. So someone needs to set that up. Someone needs to keep maintaining it. It's a lot less hassle than it used to be. Backup will be a lot easier, and the servers themselves can be cheaper because you don't need that much grunt just for Active Directory, and Active Directory administration can be simpler. But someone will still need to do that. And if a desktop breaks down, or there's an issue with the desktop, someone still needs to fix it. I think that's what they should be focusing on, instead of saying, okay, I'll come and install SharePoint for you and I'll administrate SharePoint for you. And by the way, SharePoint administration is not something that simple. And that's, I think that's the mistake that people have done in the past. I'm sure in small businesses where they just installed SharePoint and then let the clients use it without anyone ever monitoring the SharePoint performance, and making sure that the databases behind SharePoint are properly maintained and fine-tuned. So I'm pretty sure you'll find that small businesses that use SharePoint extensively are suffering from performance issues because no one ever compressed the database, for example.
I think you're right. I think that, you know, one of the things I wrote about in a blog post a while back was the fact that I see a lot of resellers bemoaning the fact, and, you know, Office 365 or, you know, whatever, or there's no opportunities left and SharePoint, you know, has issues. All they do is basically go in and copy the file share from a local, you know, C drive, D drive, copy it up to SharePoint, say, thank you very much, you know, customer, thank you very much, I've done my job, and run out the door and say there's no more work. I mean, you know, it's a bit hard to say, well, you know, look, there is opportunity, but guess what? You know, you're going to have to learn the product. You're going to have to come up to speed with it. You're going to have to make a choice to either support that, or if they don't want to do that, they need to call in someone like us to say, look, can we partner with you, and we make some revenue, the customer gets happy, you make some revenue, everybody, it works out for everybody, and we get a good solution. I think that's part of the thing that's been missing is this alliance, this ability to, again, like the good old SharePoint product itself, why don't we all start collaborating together and say, look, I do this part well, you do that part well, guess what, let's work together.
Yeah, and you can also look at that from the exchange perspective, not just SharePoint. Someone needs to administrate it, and I'm not an exchange person. And even though I'm very much a technical person, I'm a developer, and I've been using Windows for ages now. And 365 made it very easy, even for me, to set up an email system and set up new mailboxes and everything. But eventually, someone needs to have a look and say and do some advanced work on Exchange, and if we have some advanced requirements, and do them through tools that are not necessarily available on the user interface in Office 365. And these are people who still need to be there and support. And the sometimes in this, especially in small businesses, the people who are running the business don't have time to go into the Office 365 administration screen and say, "Oh, we have a new employee. I want a mailbox for that employee. These are the aliases for the mailbox. These are the permissions on the on the mailbox, and some rules. And that mailbox can only have they can only send, I don't know, that much email and things like that." So for managing the licenses and things like that, I think we'll still need someone to hold the hands of small businesses and tell them, "Look, I'm here for you. You just pay me monthly, or you pay me by the hour to do the job. But you have a lot less to worry about, and your hardware expenses will reduce. But you still have to pay me as the person who makes sure everything runs smoothly."
Well, I think also too, there's the upscale is that, in this day and age, that if something goes wrong or something fails, the first option is to turn to the search engine, do a Google on it, read 15 blogs and get the solution, and plug it in and it works. Now, that really anybody can do that these days. Anybody who's improving their skills with Google can do it. But again, if you move all that technical stuff away, the physical changing of drives, installing of drivers, doing patches and all that, which is really not something you can put your own stamp of authority over, or show that you know your stuff there, perhaps. Again, there's more opportunity in, like I said, especially the SharePoint design, implementation, doing that, templating it for the businesses. So again, there's a huge opportunity. Sure, you need to reskill, but again, in many ways, I mean, as you probably, you're aware, there is just so much opportunity in so many businesses to create all these custom little applications for them that really solve a business need and make them really happy without having to worry about, does it have the latest version? Are the databases full? Is this got enough grunt? I mean, that just takes that all away and gives you a standard platform to work on.
I think there's a huge opportunity now with 365 for small developers, and people such as myself who have been developing for SharePoint for years, to come up with templated solutions. It is like you said earlier, every client will not like the templated solution and say, "I want something different." But the beautiful thing about SharePoint is that those clients will be able to come to Office 365, take a templated solution from a third-party developer, upload it, and say, "Actually, it doesn't work exactly the way I want, but it's very close." And then go to a developer nearby and say, "Hey, can you improve on that? Can you help me get that to where I want?" And because SharePoint is a platform, in most cases, you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, look, I think again, it's unfortunately, I think so many people have not made this transition and don't understand the opportunity. They're still stuck in the back world where their day to day as a reseller, their day to day work is basically handling break fix or handling problems that clients call up with. They're not looking at actually developing something. And to me, it's since I've changed my business model to be more around SharePoint, more around cloud services, it's about leverage. If I go and work for an hour, I can only get paid for an hour. If I develop a template and sell it to three people, well, there was 1 hour developing the template, but I've got 3 hours worth of return on it potentially. So, to me, that's what I see success as going forward is to be successful in the IT business. It's going to be about leveraging. I mean, if you're a if there's money to be made in the break fix and fixing things, but you need leverage. You need a lot of clients who are willing to pay you a regular monthly fee, and you can aggregate that.
That's true.
the costs and you know and the income, sorry, and reduce the cost. To me, it's all about leverage.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The main setback for all of this to kick in, as I see it, is migration. And how do we get clients who already have on-premise services to migrate? Because if I go to a client who says, "I just started the company, can you tell me what I need to do?" I just get them, "Here's Office 365. You got an email now for each one of your employees. Here's SharePoint. This is where you put documents and manage projects and do everything." Done. And you have Link as instant messaging, and you have Microsoft Office's licenses for each one of your employees to install on your desktop, and we're done. It's beautiful. The problem is clients who existing clients. They already have a company. They already have employees. They already have mailboxes. They already have a website. They have file server with a lot of junk in it. And someone needs to take all of that, make sense of it, put it in and migrate it to Office 365. And I think it's going to be very easy to convince people that Office 365 is the way to go. It's not going to be very easy to convince them that it's worth the money to do the migration.
Well, I think again, it's sort of an interesting thing. I mean, I think that you know the definition that I talk about Office 365 is the growth is at the ends of the market, moving towards the center. So the very small businesses that typically have nothing or greenfields, and the very big businesses that can aggregate tens of thousands of email boxes into Office 365 is where the growth is. Now, that's obviously moving towards the center. But if you're a business today who may have bought a server that's 2 or 3 years old, and you've got this. A lot of them have still got this hang up that, you know, I bought a server for $8,000, it's still worth $8,000. I want to run it into the ground until I look at the next option. You know, they're very much on the here and now. There's not a lot of small businesses in my experience that are looking to say, well, you know, what's my 3 month plan? What's my 6 month plan? How can I, you know, make my business run more efficiently? Unfortunately, most of them seem to be saying, look, I just want my business to run and I come in the next day and it's a huge amount of disasters. Where again, a little bit of time spent up front would pay big dividends at the back end. And again, that's where I see where SharePoint is. Just again, my experience has been is
that's a good point.
You go into them and you say, right, give me one thing we're going to solve. You know, just let's take this contact list and put it in SharePoint. Right, let's just solve that. And again, there's a bit of, you know, where this is a web interface. Why have I got to do this? Another, but you go, okay, hang on, we've got to stick with this. So I think, again, part of it is a consultant in the small business end is to go in and this is my plan. This is what we want to achieve and guide them through. You're going to have to an extent, be the champion until someone in there, the light goes off and they go, you know what? I get this. I really want to push this from my business as well.
So something that I've done for a client that I met a few weeks ago, they met for a first meeting and they showed me the process that they wanted to implement in SharePoint for managing projects. So I said, look, let's have another meeting next week. And in the meantime, can you give me your details, or in other words, give me your credit card? I went to Telstra and went on the 30-day free trial. So it doesn't cost anything for the client. I set up for the client a 365 account and gave the main people who will be in that second meeting, I gave them permission to go in. And I set up a very, very simplistic solution for the process they wanted, something that gives them an idea, a prototype of the solution. And then I told them, look, I'm going overseas. Sorry, I have to go to visit Microsoft for a few days. Have a play with it. Just go in and go through what I just showed you, how this works. And this is like an instant sale, because suddenly they see, wow, this is doing exactly what we want. And through playing with it, they suddenly get all these ideas of other problems that they had in the business they didn't realize they could solve.
I think you're right. I think that one of the you know, one of the techniques I use is I have a very cheap hosted SharePoint Foundation site, which provides unlimited users. So there's no limit on how many users it can have. So typically what I can do is section off a sub-site and basically set it up and, you know, get people, give some people some logins and, you know, like I said, give them a, you know, 30-day trial. So go in there, knock yourself out. I can help you and we can build things. And again, I think a lot of it is not until they actually see the solution, not until they actually, you know, get the, actually get, you know, something on the ground that they can use. They actually begin to see it. I think that's the secret. They need to see something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think, you know, the good thing about SharePoint is that that is, you know, that is really easy to do. You know, that is really easy to achieve.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if you've got some experience and you've built up some templates, you can take that as the base and then start, you know, using that and say, look, you know, we do this, we do this, we do this. So perhaps another good example I have is I've done a basic SharePoint calendar for a local community organization to manage their hall. So they've got a hall, they do bookings, they have different people coming in and out, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that gives them the ability to manage that and get a feel for the product. And again, who knows who might else see that product and think that's a good solution for their business.
Mm. Yeah.
So look, I think it's, you know, it's a huge opportunity. And again, it's great for clients and it's great for businesses. And, you know, the Office 365 stuff certainly takes away a lot of the hassle and allows you to deploy a solution immediately. And again, with the full, you know, the full, let's say the E3 license or the SharePoint level 2,
yep,
with the form services, the access services, video services, my sites, all that high end stuff is that's when you can really make it sing and dance, and that's when you can really get enterprise features that used to be available to massive businesses now down to a, you know, a business that's a single user, and that can really make a huge difference in productivity in my experience.
Yep. And I think this time, even the Australian pricing is fair enough to make people sit up and say, "Oh, that's actually worth it. This is a good price for what I'm getting."
Well, I think also too, the other thing is it's a month by month, you know, and
yeah,
it's not the end of the day. You're not locking your data in. I mean, you know, it's not a seamless drag and drop necessarily from one place to the other, but you can still migrate your data in and out and across to different, you know, solutions if you do need. So I think again, it's a matter of, you know, that low end stuff, the server stuff has become the utility. You know, it's like the electricity. It's again, the value is in what you do with electricity. What you plug into the PowerPoint is where you get the advantage. And a lot of people, traditional people and the resellers, don't seem to see this. They seem to, no, no, we can provide, you know, electricity just as well as somebody like Microsoft. I mean, that's becoming more and more difficult every single day.
Yeah, and with regards to what you just said, let's say someone wants to go off Office 365 and move to a different system, because the Microsoft API allows us to ask developers to develop a application that communicates with the website and download everything. I actually have an application that I'm offering on my website, exd.com.au. That downloads everything from Office 365. Everything, if it's a contact list, if it's a document, if it's a task with an attachment, everything gets downloaded to your hard drive, and then you know, whatever other application you have, you just need to develop the application to migrate that to upload it into the application you chose to migrate to. So you're not not locked in the month to month. You don't have a gun to your head saying, "Ah, sure, you can stop paying us, but then you lose all your data." No, here you go. You have things that allow you to download your data, and the data is always yours.
Yeah, I think again, you know, part of the thing that is, I suppose, a bit distressing in the current environment is the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You know, there are people out there who are saying blatantly wrong things, are playing on the, you know, things that are very minor and you know, that aren't likely to happen. And again, I think there's not a lot of fair and balanced conversation. And I think that, to an extent, you know, the businesses are sort of saying, "What the hell's going on?" Because you, to an extent, you have a battle going on between those who are, you know, cloud believers and those who are perhaps coming across it and those who will never believe. So I think that's where we're currently at. And you know, the trend obviously would be is that as the internet speeds improve and the services that, you know, providing it in a centralized environment via cloud is going to win out. And again, there are still people who will rail against that. And unfortunately, that creates, you know, a bit of uncertainty for the business people. But again, I think if we take all that away and have a look at, you know, you've got a problem. Here's a tool, or here's something that we can use to solve your problem. And guess what? That tool can now solve this other problem and this other problem and this other problem and so forth and so on. So I think that's where the real power of SharePoint comes in, is that not only does it run on Office 365, not only does it run in-house, not only does it run at an enterprise and a small business, again, it's a very flexible tool that can solve so many problems for so many businesses.
And I just have to say that Office 365, for me as a small business, has been godsend. Like, this is what I've been waiting for so long. I've been using Google Apps before and Gmail for my business with the enterprise Google experience, and it was horrible. First of all, the speeds and communicating with other devices, such or Outlook, connecting it to Outlook and sharing information between people. Working as I do with SharePoint with enterprise companies, I've gotten used to much, much better offerings than what you get from other providers. And as a small business, I couldn't afford to install a server. Well, when I started a small business, I couldn't afford buying a server, installing small business server, installing SharePoint on it, plus all the data expenses. 365 just came and blew all my worries away. Now I have email that performs magnificently, much, much better than Gmail has ever done. I have instant communication with presence information to all each one of my employees, and I can see when they're online and just chat with them. Plus, I have my SharePoint site, both public and private SharePoint sites, where I manage all my information, things that before I had to pay other companies to do. They're all merged into one and into payment that is very sensible. For me, it was great news, and I'm very happy with it. That's why I'm spreading it around.
Yeah, I think it's good feedback, and I think, again, you know, obviously the major competitor in the field is the Google Apps, and again, it's you do. Again, when you talk to people who have used both products, the general feeling is that, you know, if all you want is just pure email and you want it, you know, as cheaply as possible, then Google's probably an option. But if you're looking for that, you know, complete familiar experience with the tools like SharePoint, with the direct integration with Exchange and Outlook, then, you know, Office 365 really is, you know, a better solution. And
I would actually argue against the people who say that Gmail is better than email, because I had so many issues with Gmail synchronizing to Outlook and to iPhone even. So right now, since I switched from Gmail to Office 365, my email on my iPhone works much, much better, despite all the, you know, Google and Apple like each other, and it comes out of box with a yes, connect to Gmail. I'm very happy to say that with having Exchange, the iPhone works and behaves so much better, so much faster, and Outlook synchronizes more and more reliably than it ever did with Gmail.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, a lot of people unfortunately get again caught up in the hype. But when you do look at the experiences, like, you know, you've got there, is a lot of people say the same thing, you know, exactly what you're saying. You know, the experience is cobbled together with the Google thing. It doesn't quite work as well. It hasn't got the speed. It hasn't got the integration. So, again, the good thing is that, you know, Office 365, you've got that 30-day trial. You can certainly give it a whirl. It'll use the familiar tools and all that sort of stuff. And you've got the added bonus of things like Link and SharePoint that perhaps you haven't seen before. And, again, depending on the plan, you can also get Office on your desktop. So, I mean, that is a pretty powerful persuasion, I think, especially, like I said, from a lot of businesses were like, you know, I can't spend thousands of dollars up front on a server and getting all this equipment and all this sort of stuff. You know, a by the month payment plan is a much better option.
Yes, I just set up Office 365 for my father, who just started a small company with another partner. So it's a two people company, so they can't afford to have an on-premise server. They can't afford to have emails and an internet website and things like that hosted internally. They have to go to the cloud. And 365 was so simple. The only thing that took time is waiting for DNS entries for the new company name to be registered over the internet. And voila, they have a public facing site that both of them, despite being not being very IT savvy.
Technically challenged is the word.
Yes, both of them being technically challenged, they know how to update, how to change colors, how to change images, and they have email that's integrated to all their devices and all devices support exchanges and just click, tell us what your email address is, give us the password, and voila, you're connected to your mailbox. It was so easy and so for them so cheap.
Exactly.
There's no alternative.
I think it's a great alternative, and I think that, you know, it's something that not only that the small business people should be considering, and again, it's something that the resellers should be looking at as building the opportunities around that, because again, they may have to transition out of some of the stuff they're doing now. But again, you know, they seem to see that they're going to be doing less. The reality is they're probably going to be ending up doing more and potentially having a much higher asking rate, because again, their skills you know, their skills are much greater. So I think, look, you know, there is so much opportunity. And unfortunately, like I said, we could go on speaking for hours and hours about this, but I do need to draw us to an end here. So what I'll do is just throw over to you and get you to give us, you know, just a summation of what we've talked about today. And also importantly, if people want to get in contact with you to follow up or to utilize your services, please let everybody know how to get in contact with you.
Sure. Well, what we talked about was generally SharePoint being my area of expertise, being a platform for building websites and hosting anything about on those websites, from documents to tasks to contacts to calendars, and implementing custom solutions for project management and whatever you can think of, you can do it in SharePoint. And then we discussed Office 365, which is my favorite. Well, it's the tool that I use day to day for my email, for my internet and intranet websites to collaborate and with my employees and manage my expenses and everything, and how I see that as such a powerful tool for not just for me, but for clients. And it's an opportunity for small business solution providers such as myself to develop solutions on and help clients migrate to a much more useful platform. If you want to contact me, my name is Ishai Shaghi. My website is www.exd.com.au. That's EXD, Echo, X-ray, Delta. My email is Ishai, Ishai, @exd.com.au. And I'd love to hear from you.
Great. Well, Ishai, I'd just like to thank you on behalf of all the listeners. I think that there's a huge amount of information that's worthwhile there in the Office 365. And it's been great to be able to talk to someone else who's as passionate, firstly, about SharePoint and about Office 365, and we certainly hope that we can call on you again in the future to come on and discuss the developments as Office 365 matures and keeps adding features.
Definitely. We didn't even mention how 365 gets upgraded automatically and no one needs to worry about it. And maybe it's something to talk about in the next podcast.
I think we can definitely arrange that. I know there's big updates coming down the pipeline, CRM and all that exciting stuff is coming on board. So sort of can't wait for that. And if we can call on you again, that'd be great. I'm sure that there's plenty more stuff that we can sit here and talk about. But we do have to round it off for today. So I'll take this opportunity to thank everybody for listening to the latest Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. Please continue to listen for additional episodes. Thank you. This podcast has been brought to you by the SharePoint Operations Guide. For more information, visit www.wssops.com. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.